on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome in to another episode of the Triple Play Fantasy Baseball Show, a proud member of Underdog and the Underdog Fantasy family. And if you use code Triple over at Underdog Fantasy, you will get a deposit match up to $100. So you will double your first deposit with that code. Make sure you check them out as baseball season is underway. And we are pumped to be with you guys tonight for the first official show of the 2024 MLB season. Doing it a little different this year. In years past, if you've been watching the show, we would do a lot of different segments, breaking things down. But we wanted to try something different this year and kind of give you more actionable advice on Sunday and going over fab pickups, waiver wire ads, things you can do before your weekly waiver wire goes, and also kind of reflecting on a full weeks of games instead of kind of halfway through the week as we had been doing. So we are pumped to bring you a great show tonight. Little Cheesecake, Marty Party, and Doc are all in the house. I believe for like the first time, I feel like in like almost 2 months, we're all four doing a show together.
Bring it in for the hug, everybody. Bring it in. Yeah. Bring it in. Group hug. Group hug.
Elsie, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. You're right. It has felt like it's been forever. You know, schedules are all crazy in this time of year for us. But, you know, season started. We come back together like a team. And we're ready to go. I like this new. I'm excited about the Sunday shows. I'm stoked.
Yeah, none of us have work, thankfully. And on top of that, it's, I think, an easier way to reflect on what we've been seeing, because during the middle of the week, it's sometimes hard to give actionable advice when, you know, we don't know the two start pitchers for the following week. We don't know necessarily all the results that we can analyze because we're kind of in the middle of things going on. So it's going to be great. Also pumped to be joined, of course, by Marty Party Tallman. What's up?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm sunburned because I was outside all day watching Detroit Tigers lose to the Oakland Athletics. Jack Flaherty is who we thought he was.
He's handsome.
He is handsome. Although Tyler said, Tyler didn't see it. And I was like, I don't know. She's like, must be a bad picture of him. I was like, I think he's good looking.
Oakland A's of all teams to have him blow up like that.
Dude,
too.
Joe Boyle goes out there and just destroys us. He looked absolutely incredible. I'll be putting money on him in Fab today because of it. Yeah, it was Zach Eloff hits a home run.
Yeah, first of the season.
Tariq Skubal yesterday too gave up 4 earned runs. So the A's have a little fight in them right now. But we'll see what happens with the Tigers all season here, of course, and Doc. Your unders have been looking good for your season-long bets, but seems like you've been on a cold streak recently in terms of your daily MLB betting.
Daily MLB bets, still up. I was on a 5-game heater hitting parlays to begin the season, so I have a little bit of a buffer, and I somehow have dodged the injury bug with everybody that's gone down. It has not affected TGFBI. It has not affected my home leagues. So I'm not even going to knock on wood because I just know inevitably it's going to happen to me.
Yeah, it deals with everybody. That's the fun of fantasy baseball. But let's get started with the show. Let's start breaking down the thing. I mean, I guess it's both, technically. Like, you have to do actionable stuff. You have to be picking up people on the fly when guys go down. I don't enjoy it, but I guess some people do enjoy that grind. Let's start breaking things down. Let's first go to talk about just, I think, an overarching topic from this week, and that's just the starting pitcher injuries. Is it the pitching clock? Tyler Glasnow had talked about last year about not being able to use any sticky substance on a baseball and that being a huge deal. Is it the fact that driveline is making all these guys up their velocity to where their arms can't take it? And then that's why they're going down so quickly once the season starts. Could see a lot of different answers here. It could be a little bit of everything. But what are your thoughts? I mean, we see Shane Bieber going down to Tommy John. Garrett Cole is trying to work his way back, but he's obviously hurt too. Looks like Spencer Strider is most likely headed towards Tommy John, although that's not been officially diagnosed yet. A partially torn UCL. I think it's going to be just a matter of when and not if that happens. Lucas Giolito went down, obviously, even before he pitched an official game for the Red Sox this year. So there's just a lot of guys going down. I made a full list on Twitter of just guys that have gone down, if you exclude Justin Steele, because of arm stuff. So, Marty, what are your thoughts about all these starting pitchers going down?
It's velocity. From the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, 90s until now, you see Tommy John surgeries becoming more and more, happening more and more as the velocity keeps going up. Maybe it's some of the pitch clock because you have to. Is 5 seconds going to make a difference if you're trying to throw 99, 100 miles an hour every single pitch?
Yes.
Are you trying to break a slider? Maybe a little. For me, it's the velocity. We're taking the human body to its absolute max on every single pitch. The old pitchers from, you know, they would pitch around, you know, they would use their, try to move the ball in and out. Now it's just all based on stuff from college all the way up. That's how you get drafted. So I'm not mad at the kids and then eventually the major leaguers. But it's the velocity for me.
Doc?
I think it's cumulative. So you look at overtime and I mean, one weekend, David, you made a list of probably 7 to 10 pitchers that have had this. So take away the pitch clock and it's like, yes, it's 5 seconds, but it's 5 seconds every pitch of a game where now you're throwing 80 to 90 pitches. And if it's a good outing, multiply that by 25 to 30 outings you have per year, that starts to add up. Compound that with the year before that you take away the sticky stuff. People have thrown fast and not saying they haven't had arm injuries, but not to this scale. Even guys that aren't throwing super hard have been experiencing. And with Shane Bieber, he looked great in his first two outings. So it's not necessarily something that you can pinpoint to. It sometimes catches us by surprise, but I think the pitch clock is the main culprit now because just think about like going to the gym and doing a heavy set of bench pressing. And now rather than having the ample amount of time between sets, you're shortening it. Eventually, if you kept doing that, your body would give out. So I think it's something where MLB needs to step in and something, whether they can use sticky stuff again, whether they're taking away the pitch clock, they have to give the pitchers an advantage again.
Yeah, I do know Shane Bieber had started feeling forearm tightness at the end of last season. And I think that was one of the things we had all forgotten until I saw it get posted that he was experiencing that. Although last year was the pitching clock. The pitching clock was around last year too. I think I can see both of those factoring in different ways.
It's a combination of both, you know. Yeah. It's going to be, that's what it is.
I mean, all of these things are contributing to it.
Cheesecake, any thoughts?
No, I think they covered it. I think, and with someone like Bieber, of course, it was his contract year. So he was pushing himself to earn that big contract, being 29 years old, probably going to be his last big contract of his career. I thought that was a big thing for him, big motivator. But like you said, he was injured at the end of last season. All that goes to show me is that you can pitch. It's not necessarily you can still pitch well and be injured. And that and Bieber was pitching as well as he had pitched in years. To mm-hmm. me, that was a sign, a reminder that you can't always tell. They can be pitching just fine, and something's wrong with that elbow.
Yeah,
I look at someone like Gerrit Cole, who has just been the epitome of an ace that's been durable, and not even beginning the year, he's having some elbow issues where they said, you know, it's kind of like mid-season feeling that he was having. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it's the first year after the pitch clock.
I think, again, there's a lot of things that accumulate into what's going on. And is it fair to say, has this scared you guys from wanting to draft a starting pitcher in the first two rounds of your drafts going into next year?
Yeah. I mean, there was a really smart narrative going into the last couple of days, especially after the Cole injury, about how Strider should be 1-1 because mm-hmm. how could like the step down from pitchers from Strider to the next group of pitchers was so big, but then like he's got two starts into the season and we're shutting him down. So it just shows you like there's no such thing as a certain pitcher. And in the first round or second round of a draft, you're really hurting if that player goes down, no matter what position they are. I have a team where I went pocket aces in December, and it was Gerrit Cole and Spencer Strider. Strider was not going so high at the time. And, that team, I think has no chance now.
Nice, charitable donation by you, Art.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was always in points leagues, one of the people that would always like going pocket aces, you know, in Roto, That's not necessarily that way. I would like to leave with an ace in, you know, my first two rounds, maybe at most pick up a pitcher by the third round. It's always been how I've played. And this has definitely scared me from wanting to do that. So I'm definitely probably just going to go hitter to start, as I know our Mike Virginia in the chat. I know he's a big going hitter early advocate. What's up, Mike?
Am I crazy? I would still take a pitcher in the late first round. Like if I was at like in a 15 team league, if I was at the 12th, league, or,
you would?
12th or 13th spot, I would take someone like Corbin Burns. And obviously you're taking a chance on it, but you could then take a hitter on the way back around. And if that pitcher does pan out, then you have a much better ace or SP1 than the majority of your partners. I think the days of me willing to invest a top five, a top 10 pick are over. But I still think if you can get an ace in that first round and they're just moving down, it's a risk that you take, but I think the reward is still there.
I mean, this is only at the top of my head. Look at Kevin Gausman, who strikeouts have been down, his velocity's down. He hasn't looked great. Luis Castillo has looked awful.
Obviously, Zach Wheeler.
And
Corbin Burns have looked good.
I mean, Corbin Burns has had one great start and one okay start.
Tyler Glass now has looked good for a second round pick.
There's, I think, more pitchers. We talk about Strider. We talk about Cole. Again, I brought about Castillo. I brought up about Gausman.
You're talking about two good starts for Burns. Castillo's had two starts.
Max Fried hasn't looked good. Aaron Nola hasn't looked good.
Max Fried, if you weren't paying attention to him, then that's your loss. Same with Gausman. Gausman had issues before most drafts.
I don't know. Joe Ryan, people liked, and he hasn't looked great. Like, pitching is so inconsistent. Then you have the guys like that we'll get to right now, like the Garrett Crochets, who have become the hottest pickups. You have Blanco for the Astros throwing a no-hitter. You know, you have Brady Singer is the most added player in all of fantasy right now, according to ESPN. This is what we're in right now. I think the people are really liking to try to get your hitting studs early that you know are going to produce, the Freddie Freemans of the world, you know, the those type of players, you know, Jose Ramirez's, Trey Turner's. You get these guys early on that are going to help in multiple categories, and then you can find these guys off the wire and to fill in what you need. And it looks like a pretty winnable strategy. So let's since we're talking about some of these pitchers, let's talk about pitchers and hitters that have been picked up. So this is according to ESPN, basically since the season has started, the most added players. And then I'm using ESPN just because it's easy. CBS does this too, where you can see the most added players across all leagues. And it's going to be very similar on most sites. So right now, the most added player on ESPN for pitchers is Brady Singer, added in 65% of leagues. Just actually had a really good two starts. 10 Ks in his first outing against the Twins. Twins strike out a lot, so that's going to happen. But then he had 6.1 innings of one earned run and 4 Ks against the White Sox. So back-to-back really good starts with a 1-0 record and 0.68 ERA on the season. I'm just going to go around the horn and just maybe talk briefly about each guy here. Marty, thoughts on Brady Singer?
The biggest thing I've seen from him, he changed his arsenal. I mean, his sinker went down from, he was using it 51% of the time. Now it's only 28% of the time. He's increased his slider usage. And last year, he didn't throw a four-seam fastball at all. This year, he's throwing it almost 20% of the time. So he's in the good ballpark there in Kansas City. Kansas City. And the biggest thing is, with the arsenal changes, it just kept hitters off balance more so ever than ever in the past. So I don't know how sustainable it is, but as of now, yeah, you're going to ride him until you see otherwise.
Speaking of Singer, Mike asks, how would you rank Singer, Blanco, and Whitlock? I'm personally going to put probably Blanco at the last of that list. I'll probably put Singer first, Whitlock, Blanco.
It's my order.
Yeah, I go ahead, Marty.
Oh, no, I'd say Singer and Whitlock are pretty much tied for me.
Blanco, I really want to see another start. Obviously, he was amazing in the first start. But Toronto then, I mean, two days later got one hit by the Astros. Mm-hmm. So I wonder like how well they're doing to start the season. But I do see that Blanco, and I think we're going to talk about Blanco, so I'm just going to talk
about him. Yeah, go talk about him.
Yeah. Blanco is, you know, from last season, his now his most used pitch is his changeup, and it was his least used pitch last year, or second least used pitch last season out of his four. He throws it more than the slider and the four seamer now. And it was, you know, pretty effective, obviously, in the first, matchup. And the, you'll see the velocity bands on the four seamer. It's a good around 94, and the changeup is at 86. So that's a nice difference in the fastball changeup. I don't have any information about how he worked on the changeup or why he's using it so much more, but clearly he's trusting it a lot more than he did last season. And if that is a difference maker for him, we could be seeing a whole new pitcher. I am worried, though, like he could also just be out there because Verlander's not there yet. You know, he could be the first guy to get moved back to the bullpen. He's 31, bit of a journeyman. Hard to know what you have with him, but I think he looked really good in that first start, clearly.
I'll be interested to see as well. He threw 105 pitches. Like, yeah. Art, I remember when you mentioned last year when Reed Detmers threw the no-hitter. Like, pitchers' first start after a no-hitter, is don't they have, like, a 4-something ERA? Or, like, they normally get shelled their next outing?
Yeah, well, they usually throw more pitches than they would normally throw to complete the no-hitter. There's a lot of strain on the arm because, you know, it's I'm guessing it's like playoff pitching because the intensity goes up. You know, you're throwing a no hitter. You're not guessing out there. I'm guessing the pressure and the strain on your arm is worse. So, I mean, almost every pitcher has a subpar start, the start after a no hitter.
Which is expected when you have a high pitch count a lot of times in a no hitter. So then you're coming in a little bit more fatigued than you normally are. That maybe your velocity's down or you're not locating as well. Just you're losing the adrenaline you had on your previous start, but I think we all agree in the order we talked about there. But one player we did not talk about in that list here, Doc, is Garrett Whitlock. I'm sorry, not Garrett Whitlock. He is on that list, and we'll get to him in a second. But Garrett Crochet, excuse me, two Garretts. Garrett Crochet looks like he's this year's Cole Reagans. Just early on, just the strikeouts are there, the dominance on the mound. He did give up 2 earned runs today and was pulled after 77 pitches. I didn't quite understand that. But he still pitched, I believe it was 5 innings, 2 earned runs and 6 Ks to, or 5 Ks today against the Royals. 2 pretty good starts to start the season, or 3 good starts to start the season, including 1 earned run against the Atlanta Braves in 7 innings. He looks like the real deal. Are you concerned anything outside of injury or shutdown from him? Is anything in just stuff actually scares you, or you think regression's coming?
Not in terms of the stuff. I'm scared in terms of what you're going to get from wins. I mean, arguably the White Sox 2 best hitters, Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert, a week in are already on the IL. So what does that mean for him moving forward in terms of getting you wins? I think this is, I mean, you probably can't pitch much better in your first 3 outings than playing Detroit, Atlanta, and Kansas City. He faces the Reds in Cincinnati next Saturday. But 21 strikeouts in 18 innings, he's allowed 2 home runs. And when you include Atlanta against that, when you actually watch him, the delivery is a little bit deceptive. I love that the velocity on his fastball throws 97, and then break that with the slider, he throws at 84. So he has a good speed variance. You know, throws a cutter as well with a 182 batting average against. So I think you obviously play him. I would just say to temper expectations, but if you've picked him up, that's probably the pickup of the year so far.
Yeah, it'd be really nice for anybody that's picked up Garrett Crochet, especially in ESPN leagues.
I saw that you picked him up when you were like, oh yeah, I don't pick up these guys, or I don't draft pitchers early because I can just pick them up. Yeah, you vulturing to Brady Singer and Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, they're the 2 most added players, man. You just got to be smart on the waiver wire.
Yeah, David,
speaking of the waiver, you're scouring it,
you crow.
What I do want to say about Crochet is that the most innings he's ever pitched was 54 in 2021. Yeah. So how long can this last? How long will the White Sox let it last? I don't know. So if you're like in a regular, like in a home league, maybe try to trade him.
Yeah, I that's exactly where I was going to go to next. I think we're all in agreement that you're probably trying to shop him, right? But his value is probably not getting any. Is his value getting any higher than this right now?
No.
Well, like in a 10, 12 team league, I think, yeah, you could flip him in the, obviously, like in a 15 team where I would hold until the wheels, you know, come on.
But if you've been decimated by injuries, I don't think you trade him.
I think his value could get higher, I'll be saying. I think his value could, if he continues, it will get higher. Because right now you are still in the, can you believe this stage of Garrett Crochet? Do you believe it? But I think each start that he goes out and shoves, it's more and more believable. But of course, we're all sitting here going, when's that arm going to fall off?
Well, he's three starts in, and one of those included the Atlanta Braves. So it's one of the best offenses in baseball. And he's got a sub 2 ERA through those three starts. I like you said, I guess there could be, you know, if he goes out and has two or three more good outings, maybe it gets better. But I do think everybody's bought in. I guess the question is, are you actively shopping him? Because I think you do. And I think someone that hopefully you're in a league with that does not know that his highest he's ever pitched is, you know, 50 plus innings, that doesn't know a shutdown is coming. That's what you have to try to take advantage of, because he is going to get shut down. Maybe best case scenario, he gives you a little over 100 innings this year, but White Sox will be out of contention. Obviously, they don't want to push him too much because he's going to become their most prized asset at the big league level right now. There's no reason why they would continue pitching him the whole season. So Phantom IL stints, I'm sure, will probably be in there too. And that's going to be frustrating if you own him. So that's another reason I would try to move off of him if you can. But someone else that's also in the list of pitchers is just Red Sox pitchers in general have looked really good this year. And Whitlock was brought up by Mike Virginia earlier. Tanner Houck has gone six innings in both outing, has not allowed a run with 17 strikeouts. Tanner Houck, just about 2 years too late, buddy, because that's what I was hoping for a couple of years ago from you. Cutter Crawford, he's gone 10.2 innings with only one earned run and 12 strikeouts. He's looked great for the Red Sox. Then you have Garrett Whitlock, who was also mentioned here. He's gone 9.1 innings with one earned run and 12 strikeouts. Guys, what? And then obviously the aforementioned Nick Pivetta, who was the most hyped up of these four going into the year. He's gone 11 innings of one earned run and 13 strikeouts. So you have all these, no Red Sox pitcher out of these four have given up more than one earned run in their first two outings. What are your guys like? Obviously, there's a organizational emphasis on something here, because the fact that all four of these pitchers have done really well makes you think it's not just a one guy breaking out thing. It's an organization pitching philosophy that's changed. And we know Andrew Bailey was brought in there. I know there were a couple other coaches that were brought in there as well. Are you buying what we're seeing from these Red Sox pitchers?
I look at Whitlock. Yeah. Sorry, and Whitlock's also showing a pitch mix change, just like we saw with Blanco. He's completely gotten rid of his four seamer, and has really reduced the use of his sinker to increase the use of his slider. So the pitch mix change here. I mean, Whitlock, we already thought he was decent last year, so this pitch mix change, you know, decreasing reliance on the fastballs, maybe it'll give him a little bit more innings this season. I think it's a good sign that he's coming out here and showing off when you look at the pitch mix change.
Yeah. Pitch mix change and organizational, again, philosophy. I think. What were you saying, Doc?
I was going to say, I think what's important to note, they've played the Oakland A's, the Angels, and the Mariners, who I think are top two or three in strikeouts in the MLB. And if you actually look at their lineup outside, Julio Rodriguez is probably one of the worst offenses if you were to remove him. I want to see how they do again. They play the Orioles this week. I think that's going to be a good test.
It will be, for sure. What are your guys' thoughts on Casey Mize? I'm going to go specifically Marty here, the resident Tigers fan. You're on mute, buddy.
That's a bummer. Hey, I'm back. Okay, Casey Mize. So what I've seen so far, I mean, 4.1 innings. He's got a 4.01x ERA, four strikeouts and two walks versus the Mets. Projections have him around 120 innings with a 4.7 ERA, about just under a K per nine. I think eight per nine. So with Mize, it's going to be health concerns. He's coming off Tommy John. He hasn't pitched in 2 years. I watched his outing. The first 2-3 innings looked really good. He was moving the ball in and out. The velocity looked fine. Fourth inning hit, and he gives up a home run and a couple hard balls. So and there's the last thing I'll say about his, I don't know how they're going to manage his innings. Are they going to like Walker Buehler him, where maybe the Tigers do pretty well? And they kind of have to pace his innings out to be able to stay, you know, on top of the AL Central or maybe fighting for a playoff. Or is it the flip side where they're terrible? They get a big skid and they're not going to make the playoffs. So they use all his bullets early and he gets those 120 innings in the first 4 or 5 months. So, don't expect him there for the long term. And, or if he is, he's not going to make a start every, 5-6 days. So, and then at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a high ERA with not that many strikeouts.
Yeah, so I think, I guess we're avoiding him for right now, right? Is that?
I wouldn't avoid him. I think at home against bad opponents is fine, and on the road against bad opponents in a good ballpark.
So who do they play this week? Because he asked about a start this week.
I don't know who they play. Honestly.
While you pull that up, I'll acknowledge, yeah. Kevin, if you want to send me a picture from my wall, a nice little portrait I can put up here, that'd be great. It's waiting for whatever you recommend for me. That's why there's nothing on there yet.
I'm pretty sure he said Marty.
Yeah.
No, Marty. He said Marty.
Yeah, I don't have anything. Like I have art actually on both sides of me, but yeah, this is the blank wall. And
he plays the yeah. Pirates this
yeah,
week.
The Pirates.
Yeah. The Pirates and then the Twins. Yeah, he may go against the No, he's going at Pirates Tuesday, 12:35. Yep.
So that's a start for Marty Party there.
Would you start him at the Pirates? Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I know the Pirates have the Pirates have been good so far this year. And shout out to Pittsburgh because I'll be going there here shortly for one of the games. So I'm excited to see that PNC Park. But yeah, I would start him.
Unless
you're in a 10-team league like me.
10-team leagues? He's
how are you doing in that 10-team league?
Well, it's still the first week because Yahoo did it this way. So, but I'm up. There's 12 categories. It's 10-2. I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Let's move on to some hitters real quick here. So top added hitter is Michael Conforto, who has 3 home runs early on in the season. Actually had them in the first 5 games, 3 homers in the first 5 games. After those 5 games, not homered, but he did have 2 hit games in those next 3. His last 2, he's gone 0-3. But he's not striking out a ton, which is great. So Michael Conforto, he's been hampered by shoulder problems. Obviously, it's something that was ruining his career. But on the season, he's hitting .382 with 3 homers and 10 RBIs for the Giants, who don't have a ton of hitting. So if he's hitting, he's going to play every day. Is Michael Conforto is out there on your waiver wire? Is he a must add?
I'd say you ride the wave, but I feel like we've seen this before where he started out hot.
But that's why I'm asking, if he's on your waiver wire, did you miss out on everything?
I don't think you missed out on everything. This is a guy who's had excellent full seasons. We were drafting him in the top 100 for 2 or 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So, injuries might have sapped his talent to the point, but I'm of the opinion that he could come back and give us another good season. So I'm expecting him, as long as he stays healthy, to be a pretty solid contributor for the Giants.
All right. What about Luis Campusano, Marty Party, who is the number one catcher right now in fantasy with 1 homer, 7 RBIs, but he's hitting .361. And he's getting a lot of action behind the dish for the Padres, who kind of Padres are going to Padre. We never know what to expect of him, but Campusano was a very popular breakout pick this year. Is Luis Campusano, is this for real? A 3.3 points per game average in points leagues. Is this for real?
He is my most rostered catcher. So I'm quite enjoying the beginning of this. What he's always going to be, he doesn't strike out a lot, but he does walk, and the power's fine. It's middling power. So why I drafted him is he's a good source of batting average, and it looks like he's going to play as much as possible for the Padres. And their hitting's not that good either, so he's hitting fifth in the lineup where he's going to get closer to that. So he doesn't strike out, so the profile is good, His expecting batting average at this point is 326. But you're going to have to offset him with a catcher who can hit some home runs, or you're going to have to make that up somewhere else. So I don't know about it in a points league, but in any two catcher roto league, he's been basically a godsend. And I think he's being rostered now in 12 team leagues. I don't know about 10 though. Maybe.
Yeah. 10 team one catcher leagues. I can't imagine he's probably rostered. What about Doc? What about Tyler O'Neill for the Red Sox, who 4 homers and 4 RBIs, hitting 360. He's coming off today, a 1-for-3 day with a homer. He had 2 home runs 2 days ago, a 2 homer game. If he stays healthy, caveat, if he stays healthy, is Tyler O'Neill a steal for you and a must add?
Yeah. And, you know, what we've talked about, the Red Sox pitching being really good. They're hitting, obviously, you know, hasn't been what the expectation. It's interesting. He has 4 home runs and 4 RBIs. So all of his RBIs and home runs have been solo shots there. But look at Trevor Story going down, and that now is one less bat that could take away from him. And, you know, that's been kind of the big thing, is him staying healthy. We were wondering if he had an everyday role locked in St. Louis with all the prospects and emerging talent that they had there. And I think him going to a new change of scenery, playing in a more hitter friendly park. Obviously, the K rate is a concern. He has this year 6 strikeouts, which is actually better than I thought. But that K rate's hovered close to 30% for most of his career. So I would say to caution that. But this could be the breakout for Tyler O'Neill that we've been waiting for.
Do you guys think Bryce Durang is a must add in Roto because he just got his 7th steal today? Or do you think that at some point his bat's going to play him out of the lineup to where he is nothing but empty stolen bases and potentially, I mean, right now he's hitting 348, so there is batting average. But right now he looks like strictly a steal specialist. He's got 2 RBIs on the year, no home runs. So Bryce Durang must add in Roto?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, he leads. At this point, he does lead Major League Baseball in steals. He was tied with Jaron Duren, who had 6. But yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, his average is going to come crashing down like he talked about. He strikes out nearly 30% of the time. So yeah. What the silver lining is, and I was just talking about this on the RotoWire podcast with Eric Halterman. So some of this is literally verbatim, because this is what I was talking about earlier today with him. He increases contact rate. So anytime you're able to do that, you can see your 235 averages climb up to 245, you know, or maybe 250. And that keeps him in the big leagues. Mm-hmm. We look at ATC right now. They project him for 8 home runs, 21 steals, batting 240, 15 team middle infielder. That's fine. You know, that's perfectly good. And if he already has 7 steals, ATCs can be a little light. I don't see why he can't get 30. So, yeah, he's definitely a must roster. Even in head-to-head category leagues, if you just need some steals just to beat somebody, I think he could potentially, you know, get half of them on his own in a week.
Perfect. Well, we have about a little over 10 minutes left before we get out of here. So any questions you guys that are watching, make sure you put them in the chat. We'll answer them as we finish up here. I wanted to bring up 2 start pitchers for the next coming week here. Maybe you can take advantage of picking some up off your waiver wire to get 2 starts from them in the right matchups. Elsie, I know you were looking at those. So what are your thoughts on some good 2-star pitchers?
Yeah, well, I think we'll put it out to everybody because I'm looking at the ones that are widely available, and I'll start right here at Javier Assad, who threw a good game in his first start, has San Diego and at Seattle next week. Marty, I think you are the expert on 2-star pitchers for us, or the most experienced, I should say.
Yeah.
Would you take Javier Assad at San Diego and at Seattle next week?
Well, let me preface all of this by, I think a lot of us are hurting for pitching.
Yes.
And we're going to be scrambling tonight in Fab to be able to get whoever we can get our hands on. I made a stupid tweet that saying, watch, we're all going to bid like $41 on Marco Gonzalez, you know, because he has 1 start next week. Like, so at this point, he's a 2-star pitcher. I think that is his biggest, thing in his corner. I mean, he has an xERA of 313. He hasn't given up a run yet, so you got to love that. But what I mostly love about him is that he really does command the ball well. He keeps his walks down. And as long as they're both on the road and in pitcher's park. So, yeah, in a deep league, I would. A 12 or 10, no.
Few other there's a lot of other guys who have some who are low, possibly available, and also have decent starts. Spencer Turnbull did a good start in his first turn through the rotation, and he draws a two-start week at St. Louis and versus Pittsburgh, the hot start in Pittsburgh for Philadelphia. Spencer Turnbull, I think, I don't have his statistics. I know he turned in a good start that first round. Does anyone have thoughts on whether Spencer Turnbull, St. Louis and Pittsburgh, at St. Louis versus Pittsburgh?
I mean, he looked great in his first start. But both those are not like easy matchups. Judging by the state of pitching, you probably picked him up off your waiver wire, which means you're probably starting him in both those matchups. I would say at this point in the year, I probably am taking that chance on him.
I'm fading.
You fade Turnbull?
I think great first outing, but this is a guy that's had injury concerns. I was surprised he went 5 his first outing of the season. I think 6 would be the absolute max that he would go, and there's way more risk starting him than reward. This is just what I've seen kind of throughout the year. I remember last year, lasted 2 innings in his first start. And as Marty knows, as a Tigers fan, he's had trouble staying healthy. So I guess if you really need pitching for the sake, he has 2 starts, but I think there's a chance that his ratios could blow up in your face.
Yeah. Looking, and I'm not going to give away the prices for Vlad, but I'm looking at his Fab article that he does every week, and let's just say that he has Spencer Turnbull as the most expensive pitcher. Nearly 2.5 times the next one, Michael Lorenzen. It's triple digits.
Wow,
he's suggesting
one
at St. Louis versus Pittsburgh. And I think a lot of it has to do with the desperation that everyone's like, you know, everyone's just lost their ace pretty much at some point.
Yeah. There's a lot of pain going around. I don't think anyone's like, I thought Castillo was the ace to pick and he's not looked good. So it's like either your aces are Gausman and Castillo not looking great, or they're injured right now. The only one who's really delivered, I think, is Burns, although he had a mediocre outing, but I mean, he still looked good. Another two-star pitcher that I wanted to run past you, Alex Wood, who has got 10 to 3 Ks to walks so far this season in his two starts, pitched a solid game against Boston last time out. He has tough one at Texas, but then Washington comes to Oakland. Might not get a win out of this one, maybe against Washington, but do Wood's skills give you guys any warm and fuzzies about picking him up for this two-start week?
I don't think I can pick him up. If I'm picking up anybody, it's Boyle for Oakland. I don't think I can do it with Alex Wood.
So Boyle's start today, because he did walk a little bit too many his first start out. His start today gave you some confidence?
I think he's the highest upside of this young pitching staff, and that's probably where I would want to invest if I'm putting Fab. Assuming again, like both these guys are on the wire. I know I'm not getting 2 starts from Boyle, but I think his upside is greater, which is why I would be willing to take one less start but have the higher upside pitcher. And just in my opinion,
I tend to agree with that. I tend to agree with that. Wood is someone who I'd be a little bit scared to start just because of how bad Oakland is. And also Texas. So I'm going to move on from that. Doc, I want to come to you. I want you to let me know Graham Ashcraft, who has a pretty good two-step this week. He's going against versus Milwaukee and at the Chicago White Sox. So Milwaukee has Bryce Terang, obviously, and they have some decent offense, but they are not like, they're not someone who's really scaring you too much, but they're a solid offense who could pop off at any day when they're not a poor offense. So Milwaukee's coming to town, and at the White Sox, which we really like. I think the new in vogue is, if your pitching staff is in shambles, pick up anyone who's starting against the White Sox. And Ashcraft, of course, in his first start, went six innings, gave up two earned runs, had a 5-1 K to walk at Philadelphia. Doc, what are you thinking about Ashcraft with that two start?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some risk baked in. The start tomorrow against the Brewers is in Great American Small Park. So I think if you can stomach that and he doesn't kill you, I mean, six innings, four hits, two earned, five Ks against the Phillies, and two of those earned runs both came on solo home runs. So that's always a worry with him, is giving up the long ball. I don't know if the Brewers have many players that I fear from a power perspective. I know Reese Hoskins has a couple of home runs. I know Jackson Churio has a couple. So that's a risk that you take, but I don't think of them as someone that has like a Pete Alonso or an Aaron Judge that, you know, and obviously there's nine hitters from there, but like you said, playing against the White Sox, and he had a little bit of a late start to spring training, but recovering from offseason toe surgery. But I think that almost kind of helps you, right? Like if you pitched less in spring training, that kind of bodes well for the beginning of your regular season.
Yeah. He was really, really solid down the stretch last season after being just murder on your team prior to that. But down the stretch, if you look at, his splits for last season, because I want to get this right, because he was his second half last season.
Mm-hmm.
Was 2.81 ERA, and he only gave up 10 home runs in 64 innings, which is, I mean, that's 1.3 or 4 per nine, which isn't bad pitching in Great American Small Park. Let me see if there's anyone else here that's possibly widely available who I think, I mean, Reynaldo Lopez, how available is Lopez? He has a good two start. I just picked him up in our home league, but he has a good two start this week.
Yeah, against me next week.
Heck yeah. So the guys who I didn't talk about, Trevor Williams, Julio Teheran, Kyle Freeland, Aaron Ashby, Adrian Hauser, Tyler Anderson, Andrew Heaney, Louis Varland, any of these guys tickling you, your fancy?
Probably not. I don't know if I'm touching them. I don't want to forget this question here really quick, because I know we're running up on time. Zach Littell, Reese Olson, and Cody Bradford, ranked them. I tend to like Cody Bradford the most because he's going against the Athletics, and he's coming off of 7.2 innings of one earned run against the Astros. So
he shoved against the Cubs before that too.
Yeah, he had five innings of two earned runs and six Ks against the Cubs.
Yeah.
So he's looking great to start. I think he would be my first. I don't know if you guys disagree with that.
No, not at all.
Followed by Zach Littell, who just pitched well in Coors and has looked really good to start the year for the Rays. And then Reese Olson would be number three.
I don't disagree.
No, I think that's right.
Okay. Hope that helps for you, Daly, right? As far as the two starts, did anybody feel differently?
No, I don't feel differently, but I have a confession to the group. I felt like this is a safe space. I'm putting money on Andrew Heaney because I need pitching in a league, and he's going up against Houston twice. Like,
he'll get you some Ks.
I know that's.
But why would you do that? How bad do you need pitching?
Yeah, you're a weenie for signing Andrew Heaney.
I need pitching. I'm already falling behind in strikeouts. I also had Sonny Gray on this team. This is the Bieber team, and there was another. So I've lost a few starting pitchers.
And I think Gray's the only back.
Yeah, he will be within the next 10 days for him once he gets his rehab start in. But yeah, I'm putting money on him to maybe I won't even start him, but at least I'll have him.
Picking up Andrew Heaney at the beginning of the season isn't the worst idea. It's taking him in like July, which is a good idea.
Yeah. Any last minute things before we get out of here in terms of any a sleeper you want to add in here or any last bits of advice as we are going to wrap the show up here?
I just wanted, because I was doing some research beforehand, and there's, you know, shortstops are, I'm in trouble because I drafted Matt McClain on a team. Mm-hmm. And Hamilton for the Red Sox came out today. He's supposed to have a lot of speed, hit a home run. I did not see him available yet for FAB because he just played today. I don't think he's going to be available, but he's someone who I'd look at in a week. If I needed someone this week, probably go in Mr. Blaze Alexander for Arizona.
All right. We're here every single Sunday to bring you guys FAB, some waiver wire pickups, two start pitchers, some sleepers if we find some that we really like for the upcoming week. So if you enjoy the content, make sure you guys are subscribed to the YouTube channel where it comes out Sunday before FAB runs. If you listen to the podcast Monday, we hope that your FAB went well and that you're ready for a nice, awesome week and you're tooled to look good in your league and to be able to do well in your fantasy league. So for Marty, for Cheesecake, for Doc, I'm D. Mendy. We're making like a bread truck and we're going to haul these buns. We'll talk to you guys next week.